This is Audible.
Dark Harmony, The Bargainer, Book 3. Written by Laura Thalassa. Narrated by Susanna Jones and J. Ben Markson.
For those who dream, keep at your magic. Stars, hide your fires. Let not light see my black and deep desires. William Shakespeare, Macbeth. Chapter 1. I stare down at my hands for the 50th time since Dez and I returned from the Flora Kingdom, looking for something that indicates that I'm different, changed, immortal. I press my palm to my heart. Beneath the steady thump of it, I feel something else. Something magical and mysterious. Something that wasn't there just days ago. My connection to Dez thrums beneath my touch like a second heartbeat. The two of us now magically bound together. I slide him a coy glance. Dez sits along a thick stone railing, his back resting against one of the columns bolted into the rocky island above us. The two of us linger on the lowest balcony of Somnia, one of the 6 floating islands of the Night Kingdom and the capital of the Bargainer's Realm. I'm angry at you, you know, I say, though there's no venom to the words. The Bargainer's eyes are closed, his head tipped back against the column.
I know.
I watch him as he sits on the very edge of the world, the dark night beyond him. In the distance, I can hear the chittering laughter of pixies riding the evening wind. You never asked me if I wanted to live forever. My voice catches on that last word. Technically, I'm not going to live forever, but it might as well be that long. Thanks to the lilac wine Dez fed me, I'm now looking at a solid 400 years of life, if not more. What will the Earth look like by the time I actually kick the bucket? How about the other world? Need to talk to Temper about how freaking long fairy lifespans are. The Bargainer's eyes open, his glittering silver gaze looking fearsome and fey. He gives me a hint of a smile, though there's no humor in it.
Cherub, you seem to be forgetting the fact that you were dying at the time.
I was dying, and he was unwilling to let me go. He reaches a hand out to me, and his magic tugs me towards him. I frown as I'm ushered to his side. Dez taps my mouth.
Tell me, Callie,
he says. His voice is like honeyed wine as his hands fall to my waist.
Don't you want to spend more than just a few decades with me?
Of course I do. That's beside the point. I'm upset that I never got a chance to decide my fate for myself, and now the future looms endlessly ahead of me. Dez lifts his inked arm into the air. Out of the night, a luminescent blue smoke coalesces, solidifying more and more as it snakes its way to the Bargainer's hand. By the time it reaches his palm, it's a glowing cord. I've seen this stuff before. Spun moonlight. The Bargainer manipulates it in his hand, working the eerie substance until it's not just a cord, but an elaborate necklace. I narrow my eyes as he brings the unearthly jewelry to my throat. That's not fair, I say as he clasps it behind my neck, even as my fingertips reach for the necklace. You can't just pull one of your pretty fairy tricks and buy out my forgiveness. But he can, and he has, and he will do so again. These neat little tricks of his have made me forgive a lot. The Bargainer turns on his perch so that his legs straddle mine. He pulls me in close, my hips fitting snugly between his thighs.
My pretty fairy tricks are what you like best about me,
he says, his lips skimming my mouth as he talks. His gaze drops to my lips,
Well, that and my di-
Dez! He laughs against my skin, his warm breath drawing out my goose flesh. Slowly, the laughter dies from his features.
I lost you once, Callie,
he says,
and those 7 years nearly killed me. I don't intend to lose you again.
My gut clenches at the memory. Even now I can feel the ache of his absence. It was a wound that never healed. Dez presses a hand to my heart.
Besides, is this not worth it?
He doesn't need to elaborate on what this is. Beneath his palm, I feel the warmth of Dez's presence, not just against my skin, but within me. It feels like I'm being kissed by pale moonlight, like the stars and the deep night rest under my skin, and I know that makes no sense, but there it is. His magic even has a sound. It's a low melody, the faint notes just beyond my reach. It makes me feel the same breathless excitement I used to feel at Peel Academy when evening was coming and Dez was coming with it. We were once mates separated by worlds and magic. Separated no longer, thanks to the lilac wine. There are other perks that came with the wine. I now have the ability to make my claws and scales and wings appear and disappear at will, and I can sense fey magic in a way I never could before. Of course, there are drawbacks, too. Fairy gifts always have drawbacks.
I'm still coming for you. Your life is mine.
The bargainer catches my wrist, examining my bare forearm.
322 favors. A lifetime's worth,
he murmurs. I follow his gaze. It's weird looking down and not seeing the bargainer's bracelet. The skin there is paler than the rest, and I admit, my arm feels naked without the weight of all those black beads. I'd worn that bracelet every day for nearly 8 years, and overnight it disappeared. It was a lifetime's worth of beads, but in the end, it was even more than that. It was a life's worth. Those beads brought me back from the edge of death. And now I have to wonder if from the very beginning, Jess's magic somehow knew it would come to this. If all that debt and all those years of waiting were its way of gathering magic, so that one day it could prevent my untimely death. Or maybe I just got really, really lucky. I lower my wrist so that I can look the Night King in the eye. Anger aside, thank you. My words come out rough. Thank you is a pitifully small show of gratitude for what Dez did. Because in the end, he saved me. Again. For once, I'd like to return the favor. Dez's hand tightens around my forearm, and he brings my wrist to his lips and presses a kiss there.
Does this mean you forgive me for the lilac wine?
Don't push your luck, fairy boy.
Cherub. Hasn't anyone told you? Getting what I want has nothing to do with luck. I deal in favors.
Chapter 2.
Not a slave anymore, I see.
My shoulders hike up at that voice.
That voice.
Last time I heard it, I was in the Flora Queen's sacred oak forest, my life bleeding out of me. And now it's at my back.
We meet again, Enchantress.
The Thief of Souls says. I feel the monster's fingertips trail like velvet up my arm.
Your wings are gone.
He leans in and breathes me in.
And is that fey magic I smell? Could it be that the mighty Night King gave you the lilac wine?
Don't act like you're surprised, I say. The thief had deliberately orchestrated a situation where I'd drink the wine and become fey, all so that his power could hold dominion over mine. Before then, his magic didn't work on me, just as it didn't for all humans.
What can I say?
He responds.
Fairies in love can be terribly predictable, I'm afraid.
The thief comes around to my front, and I finally get a good look at him. He's as I remember him from my dreams and that brief moment in the woods. Jet black hair, inky upturned eyes, pouty mouth, alabaster skin. Like all the other fairies I've met, he's beautiful, almost unbearably so. Not for the first time, I wish that evil looked as it should. I step away from his touch. The night shrouds us on all sides, but even in the darkness, I can make out the twisted oaks that surround me. My stomach drops. I'm back in Mara Verdana's sacred oak forest. Could have sworn I'd left this place. Off in the distance, I can hear the faint notes of a fiddle and the snap and crackle of a bonfire. The smell of wood smoke carries on the breeze. There's something under the smell, a scent that's somewhat sweet. If only I could place it. The thief of souls walks over to a tree, his boot scuffing a root.
This, I believe, is where you fucked the Night King.
I feel bile rise up my throat. Jesus! Had he watched us? His gaze meets mine.
How do I know that?
He glances at the tree trunk again. The normally rough bark is coated in a slick substance.
I have eyes everywhere.
As I watch, the thief presses a hand to the glistening bark. Within seconds, whatever coats the tree trunk now spills onto the thief's hand, the dark rivulets snaking between his fingers and down his wrist. And now I place that strange scent. Blood. It drips from the tree the thief touches, and now it's smeared across his hand. The thief gives me a small smile, his eyes glinting in the darkness. I begin to hear the slow patter of rain. Only, I'm not sure it's rain that's dripping from the tree's boughs. As I watch, the oak in front of me starts to groan and tremble. The thief eyes me up and down.
Fey magic suits you well, Enchantress. I confess that I'm eager to see how it interacts with my own.
Around me, the trees crack and splinter, making wet, popping noises. One by one, the trunks peel open like banana skins. Nestled inside each is a sleeping soldier, all of them still as death. Blood oozes down their skin and drips from their tattered clothes. The oak next to the thief ruptures, revealing a bronze-skinned fairy. The thief touches the soldier's cheek, and for an instant his face morphs into that of the sleeping man. Then the illusion is gone, and he's himself once more. I shudder.
I've been waiting a while for this day to come,
he says distractedly, still staring at the soldier. He drops his hand and turns his full attention to me.
Tell me, Enchantress, can you make a man, any man, fall in love with you? Not just enchant them for a time, but truly conquer their hearts?
My skin's pricking. The thief leaves the soldier's side, pacing towards me. Around us, the sound of wood splintering and blood dripping swells until I feel I might go mad. All at once, the woods fall eerily silent. Without warning, my siren flares to life, triggered by some pressing, unknown fear. My skin brightens, illuminating the thief's face in the dark night. His eyes take on a fascinated sheen.
Yes, he says, almost to himself. I bet you could.
He closes the distance between us.
I do miss the days when I thought you a simple slave. Perhaps when you are mine, I'll pretend you still are one.
He catches one of my wrists.
You'll wear metal cuffs and a collar like the slaves of old. And then you'll be my enslaved enchantress, and together we'll see just how close you can come to making someone like me feel affection.
He dares to threaten us. Never again will we fall under his yoke.
I hope you can manage it, he continues, more for your sake than mine. I'm not known for being gentle with my playthings. Just ask Mara.
I stare at him for a long moment, my claws sharpening, barely staying my siren's violent tendencies. Then all at once, I release my hold on her. My free hand moves almost without my noticing it. I strike, swiping at his face. My claw tips tear open the skin of his cheek in four evenly spaced lines. Almost immediately, blood begins to drip from the wounds. The thief looks amused. I don't get any warning before he throws me against the tree he'd been towing only minutes before. I let out an angry shout as I hit the bloody trunk, my chest pressed up against the sleeping soldier, my eyes staring at the man's bloody face. Behind me, the thief pins me in.
Normally, I like my women docile, he whispers against my ear. But you all enjoy fighting. Breaking.
His words are decidedly sexual, and I remember all those female soldiers and the children he'd forced upon them. I grit my teeth, my nails digging into the tree trunk. Never, my siren vows. We will kill him first, and we will relish it. I hear a moan on the wind, and the trees shiver, their leaves beginning to fall from the branches like tears. In front of me, the soldier's eyes snap open. Oh, shit. The thief leans into my ear again, his lips brushing the sensitive skin there.
Enjoy the carnage. I do hope you survive it.
The screams rip me from my sleep. I jerk up in bed, wide awake in an instant, my breath coming in startled gasps. Not in the Queen's Oak Forest, not pinned to a rotting tree, not in the thief's clutches. The dim lamps hanging above me illuminate the bargainer's otherworld chambers. I'm safe. For now. The screams filter back through my awareness. Then again, Dez stands at the foot of the bed, his talon-tipped wings spread out, looking like one of Hell's Angels as he stares at a point above my head. I follow his gaze, but there's nothing there. My eyes meet his as more shrieks vibrate through the bones of the castle. There's something about the sound, like it's one voice coming through many mouths. I remember my dream. The male soldier's eyes opening. Something cold skitters up my spine. There are no sleeping men here in the Night Kingdom, I try to reassure myself. And it's true. There are no sleeping men here in Somnia. But 1,000 feet beneath us, an army's worth of women lay sleeping. The screams filter in through my thoughts. At least the women were sleeping. I'm pretty goddamn sure they're now awake. Chapter 3. All at once, the screams cut off, and the silence that follows is somehow even more ominous. What in all the worlds? Dez and I are still staring at each other. 1 second passes, then 2, 3, 4... It's so terribly quiet. Perhaps I imagined it all. But then a wave of shrieks start up, trickling in like the beginnings of a storm. First it's a single alarmed shout, then another, and then it's several. They sound so very far away. The bargainer closes his eyes for several seconds as though the sound pains him deep.
What are the chances I could persuade you to hide somewhere safe?
He asks, opening his eyes, his voice silken. Hide somewhere safe? What exactly does he think is going to happen? I kick my sheets off, swinging my legs out of bed. Zero, I say. His throat works.
I can't lose you, Cherub.
For a moment, the crafty bargainer's pain is transparent.
Not again.
I can still see his face as I slipped into that final darkness.
You are not leaving me, Callie.
It's still so fresh. Dez shudders his expression, the softness dissipating from it as though it never was. Black battle leathers materialize next to me. I stare at them, my mind racing to catch up with the situation.
You remember your training?
Dez's voice doesn't sound quite right. It's not mocking or teasing. He sounds far too serious. There's only one reason he'd think to ask me that. We're going to have to kick some ass. I nod.
Good.
He stands, his brows furrowed as he takes me in.
If I can't hide you, I will simply have to unleash you.
Unleash me. Said like I'm an unstoppable force. Methinks he might believe in me a tad too much. More screams filter in from the depths of the island, near where the sleeping women have been left to rest. In my mind's eye, I can still see those soldiers in their glass coffins, each one buried with a weapon. I've been waiting a while for this day to come. I suck in a breath, realizing now what Dez already has. All those women were laying at the core of the island, waiting like bombs to detonate. And tonight, the Thief of Souls just lit the fuse. Dez's magic brushes against my skin, and the skimpy nightgown I wear melts off my body, the fabric pooling around my hips and leaving me bare-breasted. Before I can so much as cover myself, the drawer of the nearby armoire opens, and out floats an entire outfit. It drifts through the air, then settles on me, the fabric parting like butter as it touches my skin, molding to my body before stitching itself back together. More of Dez's magic. Then come the battle leathers. Then my boots, each one slipped on with a little help from Dez's magic. He watches me the entire time, his eyes fierce with resolve. I will destroy the world before I lose you again, they seem to say. I'm sliding out of bed when the final piece of my outfit floats over to me. The belt that holds my holstered daggers wraps itself around my waist, the labradorite hilts of my blades gleaming. Dressed and armed within seconds. The bargainer isn't fucking around. It's only once I'm ready to kick ass and take names that his own gear rushes through the air at breakneck speed, fastening onto his body faster than I can follow. His leathers, a sword, a pair of throwing knives, a dagger strapped to his ankle, and another that circles his bicep. Dressed as he is, I'm pretty sure he could make women spontaneously orgasm with just a look. God, now is not the time for my filthy thoughts. The screams are getting louder.
In case you missed it,
Dez says,
those soldiers who slept beneath my castle are now awake, and they mean to overthrow my rule.
I don't ask him how he knows this. My heart pounds a little faster as Dez essentially confirms what I feared. The female soldiers Carnon imprisoned and abused are now our enemies.
These women aren't civilians.
The Night King continues.
They've defended this kingdom for decades, centuries even. They will not hesitate to hurt you, and they will not show you or anyone else mercy. When you come across one, go for a kill shot, and do not waste your remorse on them. I assure you, they won't waste theirs on you.
My wings are itching to reveal themselves as adrenaline spikes my blood. The bargainer turns from me, his eyes closing. He bows his head as if in prayer, but I can feel the thrum of his restless energy as it builds within him. It sings across our bond and vibrates along my skin. The shadows billow about the room. I barely have time to register what's about to happen when Dez's magic explodes out of him. Darkness sweeps across the room, blanketing the world around us in an instant, shaking the very foundations of the castle. It overwhelms my senses until I'm no one and nothing more than a pinprick of thought in the vast expanse of darkness. And then I'm not even that. I've been here once before. The last time Dez's magic blasted out of him, Carnon,
the Fauna King, and hundreds of other Fae died. I steel myself for that same outcome. But when the darkness slams back into Dez, the screams haven't quieted. The bargainer staggers back, his face incredulous.
I can't kill them.
The sleeping soldiers, he means. I don't know what's more shocking, that Dez was ready to single-handedly end the attack, despite the soldiers being Night Kingdom Fae, or that it didn't work. I've seen the power he wields. If he wanted to, he could destroy entire cities with his will alone. What could possibly be strong enough to withstand that sort of magical attack? My eyes moved the weaponry strapped to his body. Better yet, how are we supposed to defeat what Dez's power alone couldn't? The screams are filling the night, stealing my breath from me.
They're moving fast,
he says.
And they're headed our way.
And we're to meet them in combat. I take a deep breath. The last time I fought an enemy was only days ago, and that hadn't ended too well. Here's to hoping I do a little better tonight. I shake out my hands as I begin to move, heading for the door. Dez's form flickers, disappearing for a moment only to materialize directly in front of me. His intense eyes lock on mine.
You know I trust you, respect you, and above all else, love you. But gods give me grace, Callie, I will have a reckoning with you if you go rogue on me.
Ye of little faith, I only did that once, and that was the time the foe Dez and I faced was Temperance Temper Darling, my best friend and sorceress. I'm not going to go rogue on you, Dez.
Just so we're clear.
Reluctantly, he steps out of the way, and then the two of us are exiting his rooms. The floor shivers as we stride down it. There's a rumbling in the distance like a storm coming to call, and the air carries the faintest hint of something cloying and foul. What is that smell? I ask Dez as I follow him through the castle. Our immediate surroundings are far too quiet.
Dark magic,
he says over his shoulder. I raise my eyebrows. I can smell magic. That's not normal.
Fae magic,
Dez specifies.
And yeah, apparently you can.
All right, I guess I can roll with that. Footfalls pound up the hall. Dez's wings flare protectively, but the individuals that turn the corner are some of Dez's royal aides.
Where's Malachi?
Dez demands, clearly interested in talking strategy with his general. The aides look at each other, perplexed.
Haven't seen him,
one of them says. Check the sorceress's rooms, I say. Temper undoubtedly has Dez's general chained to her bed. I'm not the only one with a taste for fairies. The bargainer runs a hand through his white hair.
How many soldiers are stationed here on Somnia?
He asks one of the aides.
850. There are a few hundred more on the other islands. The rest are stationed at the borderlands or on peacetime leave.
Dez rubs his mouth. I know what he's thinking. We're outnumbered. There are easily over 1,000 sleeping women beneath this castle. If they're out for blood, they're going to overtake us.
Call in as many reinforcements as you can,
Dez orders.
Send all night soldiers to the palace. The previously sleeping women are going to try to take the castle. We can't let that happen.
I glance out the nearby row of arched windows. Bursts of light are flashing across Somnia like the bulbs of a camera. With them come screams. So many screams. The aides incline their heads and then they're off, storming back through the castle to carry out the Night King's orders. I note that none of his men tried to linger and guard him, nor did they try to sequester him away to wait out the battle. In that regard, fairies are different from humans. Or maybe the battle-tested Dez, with his war cuffs and his darkness, is just different from other leaders. The bargainer begins to stride down the hall again.
Get those daggers ready, Cherub,
he says over his shoulder.
We're going to face the women head-on.
I reach for my weapons with shaky hands. It's one thing to spar with Dez, another to prepare for true battle. My skin shimmers as the siren bleeds into me. With the change comes a vicious sort of confidence I was missing a second ago. I pull out my blades, the etched phases of the moon glinting along the length of the metal. The daggers are a familiar weight in my palms. Deeper in the castle, there's a rumble, followed by an explosion. Then more screams. Besides Dez's aides, we see no one. That, more than anything, has my claws sharpening and my wings manifesting. We're hunting predators. The shrieks get louder as we move down the palace hallways, heading ever closer to the main entrance. And then we turn down a corridor that's not abandoned. Several fairies are fleeing our way, their eyes wild and their clothes bloody. One of them has the wherewithal to stop when he sees the king.
"Your Majesty," he pants. "Please don't go that way. They're slaughtering everyone in their path."
The bargainer's gaze slides from the man to the hall.
"Get yourself to safety,"
is all Dez says, and then he's striding forward once more. The man spares me a hasty glance, and then he takes off like a jackrabbit. Dez and I head down another hall towards a staircase. More fairies flee past us, and the screams are getting louder, closer. I tighten my grip on my daggers, my tense wings hiking up behind me, my skin glittering under the sparking wall sconces. As we descend the staircase, the scene below us slowly unveils itself. My blood chills at the sight. There are bloody bodies scattered across the floor, their eyes glassy. Across the landing, a female soldier closes in on a palace aide, her battle axe raised above her head. She's going to cleave the man in two, just as it appears she has these other unfortunate souls. In front of me, Dez disappears. He materializes between the two fairies just as the soldier brings the axe down. I swallow my scream as he catches the weapon by its handle. The aide ducks out from behind Dez and runs off. The Night King clucks his tongue, looking completely at ease as the soldier yanks the axe against his grip.
"Didn't anyone tell you that it's poor taste to kill a man indoors?"
The soldier growls in frustration as she tries to dislodge the axe from Dez's hold. When that doesn't work, she swings at him with her free arm, her fist closed. Dez shimmers out of existence just long enough for the blow to pass through him and the soldier to stumble off balance. He reappears, kicking the soldier square in the chest, the blow throwing her off her feet. She hits the ground hard, and I can hear the audible whoosh as her breath is knocked from her lungs. Her axe slips out of her grip, skidding several feet behind her.
"It's all that blood," Dez continues, prowling towards her. "Easy enough to get it out of the floor with a little magic, but spirits love to cling to the last of their lifeblood. No one wants a ghost haunting their house."
The soldier bares her teeth at the Night King, scuttling back to grab her axe. She snatches it up just as Dez closes in on her. Casually, the bargainer steps on her wrist, the bone breaking with a sickening snap. The soldier screams, the sound more an animalistic cry of frustration than actual pain. That's the spookiest part of it all. She's so hell-bent on carnage that her pain takes a back seat to it. Another fairy, a nobleman by the looks of his attire, sprints onto the landing from another flight of stairs, a soldier at his back. She pauses, lifting her bow and knocking in an arrow. I don't fucking think so. I cock my arm back and throw one of my daggers. It flips hilt over point. With a wet thump, it lodges itself into the soldier's throat. Holy shit, I wasn't expecting my aim to be that good. And oh God, I just mortally wounded someone. The thought sits like a stone in the pit of my stomach. The woman stumbles backwards, her hands going to her bloody throat. With every beat of her heart, more and more crimson liquid spills from the wound. It reminds me of my stepfather, of the penchant I have for nicking that particular artery. I expect to hear the soldier let out a pained cry or to see fear in her eyes, any indication that there's a person residing in that body. But when her gaze finds mine, there's nothing behind those eyes except cold, calm detachment. Grabbing the hilt of my embedded dagger,
The soldier rips it out of her throat. God damn, that is way too hardcore for me. Before my eyes, her wound begins to close. Are you fucking serious? I mean, I know that only seconds ago I was horrified at her death, but now the bra just needs to go. She begins stalking forward, my weapon in her hand. I tighten my fist around my remaining dagger, adrenaline pounding between my ears. Halfway to me, she hesitates, and her hand goes back to her neck wound. As I follow her movements, I realize that beneath all the blood, the wound is still open. I don't know why, but it stopped healing. She doesn't get any more time than that. Before she or I can do anything, Dez manifests in front of her, sword in hand. In one clean motion, he skewers her. Her eyes widen as he removes his bloody blade from her stomach, and a moment later her knees give out. The soldier's glassy eyes stare up at the ceiling, and her mouth opens and closes until the last of her life drains out. The bargainer kneels down and takes my blade from her hand. A moment later, he vanishes, only to wink into existence right in front of me. He hands me my blade.
You did good, Cherub,
he says, his eyes shining as he takes me in. I wet my mouth, my eyes moving to the soldier. Being good at killing is no compliment. My siren preens at it anyway. Dez grabs my jaw and gives me a quick kiss, and my siren, she sings at the taste of my mate on my tongue and the scent of blood in the air. Once the bargainer releases my jaw, his gaze lingers on my face a moment longer. Reluctantly, he turns away, stalking through the palace once more, heading for the sounds of screaming. Taking a deep breath, I follow after him. We pass several more fallen fairies as we make our way through the castle, their deaths gruesome, violent. My warring natures can't decide what to make of it. Part of me feels nauseous and horrified, and part of me is filled with vindictive bloodlust. Make them suffer. Make them pay, my siren whispers. The next sleeping soldier we come across lingers in a dim hallway, crouched over a body. I squint at her form. Almost all the sconces are snuffed out in this corridor, like the light can't bear to witness this horror. The soldier's head snaps up, her eyes glinting like a cat's. Her face is splattered with blood, and the knife she wields is doused in blood, the crimson liquid coating the blade, the hilt, and most of her hand. There's no way the fairy beneath her is alive. The bargainer is on the soldier in a second, sword in hand. In one clean, swift stroke, he lops off her head. The thing hits the ground with a sickening thud, the soldier's body joining it a moment later. A pool of dark blood spills from both. I stare at the head. Its eyes are still blinking. Oh, my sweet lord, why are its eyes still blinking? And holy hell, its mouth is opening and closing like a fish gasping for breath. I can feel my siren pressing upon me, growing ever more excited at the sight and smell of blood. I want it all, she whispers. Their pain, their power, their very lives. Mine to savor, mine to take. A part of me wants to wrap my siren's viciousness around me like armor, but a larger part of me is just as disturbed by her as I am at all the carnage. I don't want any part of me to thrive on these violent deaths. So I do what I've always done. I keep her leashed as best I can. Forcing myself to move, I head over to the civilian sprawled across the ground and kneel at her side. Her eyes are closed, her face is slack, and her neck is a mess of bloody tissue. And then there's all the blood outside her body. No human could survive that much blood loss. But then this isn't a human. I see her chest rise and fall and hear her take a laborious breath, the sound broken and ragged. Dez kneels down next to me, and he places two fingers against the woman's forehead. I can taste a hint of his magic in the air as it settles around the injured woman. Her eyes flutter and she shudders out of breath. What did you do? I ask. The bargainer stands.
I took away her pain. The rest her magic will have to fix on its own. I am no healer.
I remember the last soldier I fought, the way her wound began to close only to stop healing. If the soldier's magic couldn't heal that wound, can this woman's magic heal hers?
Unlikely.
The thought filters in from a new part of me, the part that drank the lilac wine, the part that's now a little fae. I can sense the fairy's magic slipping outside her body. It lingers in her spilled blood and it's evanescing into the air. That magic seeps into the walls and the ceiling, and then it's no longer this woman's magic, it's the castle's. What had Dez said?
Spirits love to cling to the last of their lifeblood.
This woman's magic is slipping away from her. Will her soul slip out with it? Will I be able to sense that, too? I don't stick around long enough to find out. We leave her there, once again making our way to the main entrance of the palace. The closer we get, the more bodies begin to stack up. Here, the sounds of fighting are almost deafening. I can tell by the noise alone that a battle rages in the great entryway of the palace. Rather than heading there, Dez takes us to a staircase that leads farther down. Where are we going? I ask.
The dungeons.
The dungeons? I echo. Why? We come to a thick door made of hammered bronze. I can feel a ward humming off the thing. He turns to me.
Wait here, love.
Dez! But he's gone. Chapter 4. I adjust my grip on my daggers, then shift my weight from one leg to the other. I stare at the metal door ahead of me, the sounds of fighting at my back. My heart is jackknifing in my chest as my adrenaline zings through me. 1 minute ticks away, then another. The battle above me is calling to my siren, luring my dark nature. My wings flutter and resettle with my agitation, and my skin still glows as bright as ever. I begin to edge away from the door, feeling the pull to return to the fighting. The sane part of me is not all that gangbusters to kill more people. But I can't just stand here while innocent fairies... The bargainer returns to my side, stopping the thought in its tracks. In his hands he holds a stained wooden box. I glance between him and it. Seriously, what is going on? Dez leans down and whispers to the box in what I'm assuming is old fae. He pauses, listening, then speaks some more. As he speaks, I can sense the container's enchantments unraveling. Once they dissolve away, Dez stops speaking. For a moment, nothing happens. Then the lid springs open. I can't help myself. I lean forward and peer inside the box. It's empty. Until, of course, it isn't. Shadows I didn't notice at the bottom of it begin to stir. These don't look like Dez's shadows, which thicken and coil like smoke. This shadow is a two-dimensional, paper-thin thing that moves. A bony shadow hand reaches from the depths of the container, its fingers gripping the edge of the box one by one. It pulls itself out, slithers down the side, then drips from a corner onto the floor. My breath stutters. I've seen this creature before, in Dez's throne room. A bog. I'd watched the creature eat a fauna fae who thought it would be a good idea to gift the King of Night a bag of heads. Bet the dude regretted that decision.
Remember our deal,
Dez tells the shadow monster. Deal? Only the bargainer could have struck such a thing in the sliver of time he left my side. And with the bog, of all things.
Yes, my king.
The hair raises on my forearms when the creature speaks. I'm staring at a living nightmare. Literally. The bog eats its victims alive, and in the long time it takes to digest them, those fairies are cursed to live out their worst nightmares. Only the other world could be home to such a frightening monster. And now Dez has set this thing loose. The bog begins to move, then hesitates.
I still, as I feel it notice me. Not a creature I want to catch the attention of.
A tempting adversary,
my siren whispers because she has no sense. Dez steps in front of me, his wide shoulders blocking out the bog.
Better kill whatever thought is running through your head, he growls. Look at the Night Queen again, and you'll find out why your comrades fear me.
Night Queen?
And all shall fall under my thrall.
The siren in me is dying to be set free.
Understood,
the bog hisses. I just barely catch sight of its form as it slithers back the way we came. Dez and I follow it back up the stairs. By the time we make it to the palace's main entrance, there are dozens and dozens of fairies locked in combat, their wings flared wide behind them. Some of them are civilians, but many of them are soldiers defending the palace from other soldiers, former comrades now pitted against each other. My eyes sweep over the rest of the gilded entry hall. The place looks like a slaughterhouse. Bodies are scattered across the floor, most of them servants, nobles, or aides, essentially fairies who weren't trained to kill. There are fallen knight soldiers as well, but even in death, it's hard to tell whether the soldier defended or raided the castle. I stare, shocked at the chaos. Amongst it all, I see the bog slithering about, swallowing up one traitorous soldier after the next. I have no idea how it knows friend from foe, but I figure Dez ironed out those details with the monster before he let it loose. Swords are clashing, arrows are flying, blood is spraying. Dark magic fills the air. I can smell it, taste it, feel its oily nature clinging to my skin. Dez pulls me in close, stealing a quick kiss from my lips.
Stay safe, love, he says.
His eyes dip to my glowing skin and his grip tightens. I feel his hesitation, the glamour and our bond keeping him at my side. Somewhere underneath his armor he wears 3 bronze war cuffs, awarded to him for valor. The thought of those bands comforts me. There's nothing I have to show him that I'll be fine. Just as I open my mouth to speak, an arrow whizzes by my head. Acting on aggression and instinct, Dez withdraws his sword, the weapon ringing as it's released. He spins towards the melee, his eyes scanning the room. The moment he finds the archer, he vanishes from my side, leaving me alone. The world has a hollow feel to it, the shrieks, the smells, the sights.
Ours to savor, the siren whispers. Join in. Let's take part in it until there's enough blood to swim in.
I take a step, then another, drawn by the twisted pull of the battle. Around me, several fairies' eyes catch on my shining form. A soldier closes in on me, her eyes bright but her face impassive as she lifts her sword. I look at the weapon and my blade suddenly seems small and paltry. No match for this woman with her quick reflexes and her bloodlust.
Let her try to kill us.
Then again, I happen to know a little someone who fits that bill pretty well. Normally, I'm careful to contain my siren, even when I use my magic. Now I let that control slip just a little. I feel her laughter bubble in my chest.
This will be fun.
As soon as the soldier swings her weapon, I move, my body bending and dipping to avoid the hits. My movements feel fluid, like water rolling down a river. I duck, spin, and with a swift thrust, shove my daggers up into her belly. It's an impossible strike, one that even a week ago I wouldn't have been able to make. And now I have to wonder if, along with long life and a sense for magic, the lilac wine gave me other fey attributes, such as agility and precision. I yank my blades up her torso, cutting through flesh and other softer things before I draw back. The soldier staggers back as I withdraw, but not even the wounds I inflict are enough to stop her. She attacks me again. I block the first blow, but I'm not quick enough to entirely avoid the second one.
I feel the blade of one sink into my leathers, then bite into my skin. I cry out and spin, my dagger pointed out. The weapon cleanly slices open the woman's neck. Yes. My siren laps up the carnage. I'm opponentless for all of 5 seconds, and then another woman is on me, her curving blades glinting wickedly beneath the light of the giant bronze chandelier above us. Bending my knees, I spring into the air, the thick strokes of my wings forcing me up. Several feet off the ground, I tuck my wings tight against my back and drop onto the soldier, burying my dagger in her neck. Her curved blade arcs through the air, the point skewering me in the thigh before she falls limp onto the floor. I collapse on top of her, hissing at the wound. A shaky hand goes to my thigh. I grind my teeth against the sharp pain. I think it's deep, definitely deep enough to make walking a problem. I push myself off the dead fairy, nearly crying out when I place weight on my leg. But just as soon as I feel the full force of the injury, it begins to close, the blood trickling off. Fey magic at work. Another perk of the lilac wine. Once my wound heals, I jump back in the melee. Across the room, I spot Malachi and Temper, the latter with a crazy smile on her face as they fight the sleeping soldiers. And far above us, Dez fights in mid-air, his enemies dropping from the sky. The soldiers keep coming, and it takes all my focus to fight them off. By the time I reach the main entrance of the castle, the smell of magic and blood coats the air like perfume. I'm dappled in the liquid, wearing it like another layer of armor. Hard to believe that I agonized over one single death for years. By the end of the night, if I'm still alive, my death count will be in the double digits. The fighting spills into the courtyard, and bursts of fey magic light up the night as fairies draw on their power. I briefly sheathe my daggers as my gaze moves over the landscape. The human part of me is trying not to heave. The grounds are strewn with glassy eyes and gutted bodies. Soldiers are killing soldiers. Civilians are getting cut down, and the formerly sleeping women are out there in droves alongside their spawn. Now that the night has come, those creepy casket children have cast off all pretenses of innocence. Their tiny bodies feast on prone fairies, their eyes glowing with unholy malice. It's madness I can't make sense of. Dez lands next to me and grabs my hand. He looks like a savage, his battle leathers bloodstained and his pale hair speckled with the fluid. It's unnerving just how much the look suits him.
You good?
He asks, his eyes bright with concern and ironically fey delight. Fairies and their feral hearts, the siren whispers. He's enjoying this almost as much as we are. His gaze drops to my lips, his other hand reaching for my shining skin. I wet my dry mouth and nod. I'm fine. To emphasize my point, I will my wings away. They don't disappear immediately, and even once they do, it's a struggle to keep them concealed. It's a waste of an effort. The Night King's still staring at my lips, looking entranced by them. Around us, the air thickens with static electricity, raising the hairs along my arm. I look around, trying to figure out its source. Dez tears his gaze from my mouth, his eyes moving over our surroundings. Something bad is coming. Boom. The ground beneath me trembles and debris flies into the air as something on the other side of the palace explodes. A moment later, I feel a wave of dark magic slam into me, knocking me off my feet. Dez catches me before I hit the ground, and the two of us share an intense look. A fresh batch of screams rise from the other side of the castle. I was wrong. Something bad isn't coming. It's already here. Next to me, the bargainer's wings appear at his back, expanding ominously.
I'll be right back, Cherub.
With that, he vanishes from my side. Dez! I can still feel the press of his hands against me, but he's gone. My eyes move towards the back of the palace where the screams are coming from. That's where he went. I sprint towards the back of the castle, my heart pounding wildly.
There's pressure near my shoulder blades, my wings fighting to reveal themselves. Ignoring the sensation, I run down one of the cobblestone paths that winds around the palace, the stones smeared with blood. Ahead of me, a dead fairy lays sprawled across the pale grass, her arms stretched wide, her eyes glassy. How many lives have been cut down in a single night? Too many. We'll make our enemies pay for the slight. Fairies flee past me, some taking to the air and some sprinting on foot, all of them running from whatever it is that caused the explosion. When I round the back of the castle, I come up short. I have to lock my knees at the sight in front of me. Dear God, the circular annex that contains the Night Kingdom's royal portal is in use, its double doors obliterated. Row after row of gore-covered soldiers pour through it, their eyes vacant. They march onto palace grounds, their uniforms carrying the symbol of the Night Kingdom. The sleeping men. There are dozens and dozens of them, and more are coming with every passing second. I stagger at the sight of them. I'm going to die. I'm going to die, and it will all be for nothing. Finding Dez only to lose him, spending an agonizing 7 years without him, enduring Carnon, nearly dying at the green man's hands, drinking the lilac wine. None of it matters anymore because an army of possessed soldiers want to wipe the Night King's people from the face of the earth, and I will be just one more casualty. Ahead of me, Dez stands very, very still. Even though I can't see his face, I swear I can sense his despair. The numbers were against us when it was just the sleeping women attacking. With the men, they're insurmountable. The soldiers begin to break ranks, fanning out to attack anything that lives. I'm one of those things. So is Dez, and so are the few fairies scattered around us who have decided to stay and fight. The bargainer gives a rallying cry and then disappears, reappearing in the middle of the sleeping soldiers long enough to deal out death before disappearing and reappearing again. He glances over his shoulder at me, his eyes wild.
"Hide yourself, Callie,"
he cries as soldiers close in on him from all sides. I don't have the will to move or the fear to flee. Even my siren is quiet. She won't whisper the truth. We can't possibly win this. There are a handful of soldiers for every one of us, and those odds are only worsening as more sleeping soldiers spill out from the portal. And once they're done with us, they'll move on to other fairies, perhaps until none are left standing. This is no battle, it's a butchery. And I don't want to bear witness to it anymore.
"Stop," I whisper, my voice harmonizing as the battle unfolds. I blink as my vision blurs. Already soldiers have caught sight of my glowing skin. They're sprinting towards me, weapons brandished, as though I'm some great and terrible threat. The sleeping men begin hacking into what loyal soldiers and civilians remain standing, cutting them down in seconds. "Stop," I say louder. No one's listening. Of course they're not. They have more important things to do, like trying to stay alive. But I can't leave it alone. I'm coming apart, and this might be the time that does me in for good. "Stop!" I shriek, like a madwoman. To my wonder, they do exactly that. Weapons stop clashing, fairies stop moving, everything goes utterly and absolutely still. I touch my throat.
"Nah." I look at the night fairy nearest me, who's only yards away. His foot is lifted as he stands frozen mid-stride, blade in hand, his face intensely focused on me. Even from here, I can smell the foul odor coming off of his clothes, the scent like death decided to go dumpster diving. "You," I say, pointing to the soldier. "Give me your sword," I demand, opening my palm. The fairy unfreezes and sedately walks over to me before handing me his weapon. My fingers close over the sword's hilt, and a wicked smile blossoms on my face. I can fucking glamour fairies. Hold on to your tits, world. Callie is back. Chapter 5. I can freaking glamour fairies. Before I drank lilac wine, that wasn't the case. I should have realized the elixir reconfigured this aspect of my magic as well as the others. My eyes moved to my mate. To my shock and horror, maybe a smidge of delight. He's also frozen. Dez, I call, my voice melodic with my power. Come here. The bargainer vanishes, reappearing at my side an instant later, an eyebrow arched. Other than that, he's placid, all except for his eyes. His silver eyes sparkle in a way that is wickedly excited. I release you from my glamour, I say. I've clearly gotten rusty on this whole glamour thing because it's not just Dez who follows my command. A few sleeping soldiers, including the one who just handed over his blade, now jump back into action. Honestly, Callie, newbie mistake right there. Dez is on the soldiers in an instant, cutting them down with his sword before they can get a chance to strike. Once they've been dealt with, the Night King rolls his shoulders as if to shake off my magic.
So that's how it feels to be glamoured by a siren, he says, the corner of his mouth curving up just the slightest, like I've been caught by my balls.
He comes in close, his smirk growing.
The whole thing was horribly invasive. I rather enjoyed it.
The conversation is so vastly inappropriate and out of place that I let out a laugh, the sound melodic. His eyes move over my glowing features.
Beautiful creature,
he murmurs.
You were irresistible before.
He reaches out with a hand, grazing my jaw with his knuckles.
I don't quite know what to do with myself now.
Dez leans in and kisses me, his lips lingering. The sound of heavy footfalls breaks the spell. I draw away from the bargainer, turning towards the portal. More sleeping soldiers are marching through. Soldiers, stop! I say, my magic thick in my voice. The sleeping soldiers halt in place, their bodies filling up the doorway.
You've done it, Cherub,
Dez says, surveying the prone fairies.
You've become someone to fear.
Chapter 6. It takes several hours, but eventually I manage to incapacitate all the psycho sleeping soldiers and the casket children who were wreaking havoc on Somnia. By the looks of it, the soldiers were staging a political coup. Excuse me, a failed political coup. Thank you, Glamour. We round the guilty up, remove their weapons, and lock them in the dungeons. Right now, my glamour is making them placid, but once it wears off in a day or two, their bloodthirsty tendencies will return. Now Dez and I head through the palace towards the dungeons. I open and close my palms as we go. I'm a little nervous, which is ridiculous. What I'm about to do was my idea. The fairies we pass stare at me. My skin has long since stopped glowing, so I know it's not the siren drawing their eyes. Why are they looking at me? I finally ask Dez. He pauses to glance at me, then at the them in question.
You really don't know?
Dez asks, raising an eyebrow, his gaze returning to mine. I shake my head.
Cherub,
he says, a small smile playing at the corners of his lips.
You're the enchantress who stopped an army, the human who has the power to ensnare their will if she should choose to. They are awed and afraid of you, which is the highest compliment a night fae can give you.
Eventually, we leave the curious eyes behind, descending down the same staircase we took only hours ago, back when Dez released the bog. The two of us stop at the familiar hammered bronze door. With a brush of Dez's magic, the door swings open, revealing a long hallway that descends into darkness, the wall sconces not quite able to beat back the shadows. Inside, armed soldiers, these ones not possessed with the unholy desire to bash in as many brains as possible, somberly escort us down the hall.